All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him, the Almighty, to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyam. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be conscious of our Maker during every single second of our lives. If we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. I would like to start off by offering you all glad tidings. And glad tidings in regard to a very special guest that we are about to host, and that is the month of Ramadan, which is just around the corner. A month like none other, a month where we are able to secure the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An amazing month, an opportunity for us to turn over new leaves, turn over new chapters and move forward. A month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to forgive us. A month that has been spoken extensively by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many ahadith. Like, for example, the hadith where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the one who fasts the month of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaba, in the sense with firm conviction and taking account of himself or herself, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ, his sins are forgiven. His past sins are all forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal forgive all of our sins, and may He help us to attain the most powerful of nights, Laylatul Qadr, during this month of Ramadan. Ameen. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a famous companion. A companion who was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A companion who took part, who participated in many a battle along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A companion who was from the first houses or first families to migrate as per the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a special companion, and his name was Abdullah ibn Abd al-Asad al-Makhzumi. Abdullah ibn Abd al-Asad al-Makhzumi radiyallahu anhu, a close companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like I said, he participated in the Battle of Badr. He also participated in the Battle of Uhud. The Battle of Uhud that took place 3 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the month of Shawwal. Now in this particular battle, what happened was, this particular companion was inflicted with a deep wound. A wound that healed initially, but after a period of time, it opened up again, started to fester, and this beloved companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away due to this particular wound, the wound that was inflicted upon him during the Battle of Uhud. Now what happens? The wife of this companion, her name was Hind bint Abi Umayyah. Hind bint Abi Umayyah radiyallahu anha. She loses her husband and she is devastated. She's devastated. She's heartbroken because she loved her husband so much. And he was an amazing individual. Now this female companion was more famously known by her kunya. And when we say kunya in the Arabic terminology, what we mean, I mean, if you were to translate it, it's a bit of a technical term. It's known as a technonym. In the Arab world, or amidst the Arabs, they have the practice of calling one another using something known as the kunya. The Arabs, they have a couple of ways of addressing one another. One is they would use the real names, asma, like just as how we do. Like your name is Muhammad, your name is Khalid, you use your real names to address one another. And then we have something known as a laqab, a nickname. And when we say nickname here, we don't mean a nickname to disgrace someone or to humiliate someone. No. They had nicknames. They would suit nicknames upon one another in a positive way, in a way where they would call one another using good names. Like for example, Abu Bakr is Siddiq, As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the truthful. Umar Al-Faruq, Al-Faruq was his nickname. As-Siddiq was his nickname. Al-Faruq in the sense the criterion. The criterion between truth and falsehood. He would distinguish between truth and falsehood. Umar radiyallahu anhu. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu was known as Saifullah al-Maslul, the drawn sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nicknames were suited. Hamza radiyallahu anhu was known as Asadullah wa Asadu Rasulih, the lion of Allah and the lion of the messenger of Allah. So nicknames. And then we have kunya. Kunya in general is a name that is attributed using Abu or in the sense the father of so-and-so or the mother of so-and-so. And at times, the name of the eldest child is attributed. But at times, even if that person does not have a child, a name can be attributed. Or even some inanimate object can be attributed. A noun can be attributed. For example, we have Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Now Abu Huraira, it's a kunya. And you translate that as the father of the kitten. The father of the kitten. Now obviously he didn't have a son by the name of Huraira. Huraira is translated as a little cat, kitten. And why he was suited this kunya was because he had this fondness towards cats. He loved cats. And there have been incidents where at times he would fall asleep and he used to have baggy sleeves. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he would have baggy sleeves. And during one particular incident, whilst he was sleeping in the masjid, a kitten crawled into the sleeve and fell asleep. He was asleep and the cat is also asleep inside his sleeve. Now he wakes up and he realizes that the kitten is inside his sleeve, and because he had this fondness towards cats, he didn't want to disturb the sleep of the cat. He cuts off his sleeve and he leaves the cat peacefully. Subhanallah. Look at the love towards animals. The mercy towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was known as Abu Huraira. And apart from that, we have like Abu al-Qasim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as Abu al-Qasim, the father of Qasim, because his son's name was Qasim, the one who passed away. And then we have other kunyas as well, where at times they have a kunya where they don't really have a child by that name. But it's fine, you can have a kunya. So anyway, now coming back to the story. Hind bint Abi Umayyah radiallahu anha, her famous kunya, she's known as Salama. Salama radiallahu anha. Who is Salama radiallahu anha? One of the wives, one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, one of our mothers, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now at that time, she was married to Salama's husband, Abdullah ibn Abdul Asad al-Makhzumi, who was more famously known as Abu Salama radiallahu anha. So she was married to Abu Salama. Now she loses Abu Salama radiallahu anha, and her heart is broken. She's filled with anguish and sadness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears about the loss. He makes his way. He goes to Salama radiallahu anha. And he tells her, Ya Salama. Whenever a believer, along the lines of these words, whenever a believer is afflicted with a loss, a tragedy, a misfortune, a calamity, the believer, he or she should do what Allah has commanded that slave to do. And that is to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhluf li khayran minha. A powerful statement, a powerful dua. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, to Allah we belong and to Him we return. To Allah we belong and to Him we return. We all belong to Allah. We all belong to Allah. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati. O Allah, reward me. Reward me in this misfortune of mine, in this calamity of mine, in this tragedy of mine, in this difficulty of mine. وَخْلُفْلِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. And replace what I have lost with something better. Replace what I have lost with something better. It's a powerful dua. It could be at the time when you have lost a loved one. It could be at the time when you have undergone financial loss. Maybe a business deal gone sour. You've lost a lot of money. A tragedy, a calamity. You're making dua. وَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. Or it could be even something like a small thing. Maybe you lost your mobile phone. You lost your mobile phone. وَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. Oh Allah, replace what I have lost with something that is better. Now the minute the Prophet ﷺ educated her in this regard, in regard to this dua, she starts to read the dua, but then she says in the narration, whenever I would come to this part, وَخْلُفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا, Oh Allah, replace what I have lost with something better, I would question myself, what or who can be better than Abu Salama? She's lost Abu Salama. Who or what can be better than Abu Salama? My husband, Abu Salama. Little did she know that she was to become the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So what happens? Now she is in her udda. The period ends. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he sends the first proposal to get married to her. Ya Salama, I wish to marry you. Salama radiallahu anha considers the proposal, farafadat, and she turns down the proposal. She turns down the proposal, subhanallah. And who are we talking about? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and it is established that Abu Bakr is the best of companions. He's obviously better than Abu Salama. But no, her heart did not let her. Now when she turned down that proposal, Umar radiallahu anhu, he sends in a proposal. Ya Salama, I wish to marry you. Salama radiallahu anha, farafadat. She turns down the proposal of Umar radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. Umar radiallahu anhu, the best companion after Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now the third proposal comes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He proposes, Ya Salama, I wish to marry you. Now, she accepts the proposal because obviously she realizes her dua has been answered by Allah. If you were to fill the entire world with Abu Salamas, okay, and if you were to place Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the other hand, obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of creation, the best of mankind, and she is to become his wife from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. Subhanallah. She never ever imagined at the time of her loss, when she lost her husband, that she is to be married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And there are many lessons that can be deduced from this incident, my dear brothers in Islam. Primarily being that our knowledge is limited. Our knowledge is finite. And the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. At times when you are in a misfortune, in a tragedy, in a calamity, you fail to perceive the bigger picture. You think, oh, why am I being put through all these difficulties? Why am I being put through this? Why am I suffering like this? Why this? Why? Why my reputation? Why my money? Why my family? Why this? Why this? Why my health? We have all these questions. We have all these questions that float around in our minds. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His knowledge is infinite and He knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for us, subhanallah. And He brings about things in an amazing manner. You have to understand that Allah clearly states in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. That definitely, indeed, we have created mankind fi kabad. Kabad in the sense, in difficulty. In difficulty in the sense, we are supposed to go through difficulty. We are supposed to go through misfortunes. We are supposed to go through calamities. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. We shall definitely test you all بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ, with something of fear, وَالْجُوعِ, hunger, نَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, loss of wealth, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, loss of provisions, وَالْأَنفُسِ, loss of lives, you will lose loved ones. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But give glad tidings to the ones who are patient, the ones who hold on to patience. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً. The ones when they are afflicted with a trial, with a difficulty, with a calamity, with a tragedy. قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say that إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We have confined إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ to only when we hear the news of someone dying. We've confined this statement to that occurrence alone. But no, it is whenever you go through a tragedy, whenever you go through a calamity, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. To Allah we belong and to Him we return. اللَّهُمَّ أَجُرْنِي فِي مُصِيبَتِي وَخْلُفْنِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. And you have to understand, my dear. Okay, let me give you another hadith in the form of glad tidings. This is the hadith of Suhaib al-Rumi radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he comes out. And the narration goes along the lines of these words. One day he comes out. And he is with his companions. And suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughs. He smiles, a broad smile. And then he looks at the companions and he tells them, will you all not ask me as to what made me laugh like this? What made me smile like this? And then the companions look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say, Ya Rasulullah, what made you laugh? What made you smile? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went on to say, Ajaban li amri al-mu'min. How amazing, how wondrous are the affairs of a believer. How amazing and how wondrous are the affairs of a believer. When he goes through good times, he is thankful unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He holds on to shukr, which is good for him. And when he is put through difficulty, when he is put through tragedies, when he is put through calamities, he holds on to patience, sabr, which is also good for him. So how wondrous and how amazing are the affairs of a believer. Every single tragedy you go through, my dear brother, my dear sister, you have to understand that it is a means for Allah to forgive you of your sins. It is a means for Allah to polish you to the better. It is a means for Allah to raise your ranks. People can put you down, but in the eyes of Allah, you are rising. You may suffer financial loss, but in the eyes of Allah, you are reaping and earning. As long as you don't question the decree of Allah, as long as you don't say blasphemous statements. Once the Prophet ﷺ goes to visit a companion who was ill. He had severe fever. Fever, it was so hot. He goes to him. The Prophet ﷺ sees him suffering. He's reclining and he's suffering because he's ill. Rasulullah ﷺ says, Abshir, glad tidings be unto you. Glad tidings be unto you. You might think, subhanAllah, he's ill, fever. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying this. Why? Because we have a hadith Qudsi that fever, Allah says in that hadith Qudsi, fever is my fire. Fire in the sense it is, along the lines of these words, from Jahannam. It is a means for Allah to forgive you of your sins. You suffer, Allah forgives you of your sins. Even you're walking down the street, a thorn pricks you, a thorn, a mere thorn pricks you, it is a means for Allah to forgive you of your sins. Then think about all of us. We're going through different calamities, different tragedies. Allah is forgiving you of your sins. And none of us can say that I don't have sins to be forgiven. And that's why, like the Arab poet says, we are all like the moon. We all like the moon. Why? We all have a dark side. The moon has a dark side? No? So likewise, we all have dark sides. We know of our sins. We know of our shortcomings. We know of our faults. We know of our defects. And we need to be purified. We need to be cleansed. So Allah, because He loves you, He puts you through that mill. So don't question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single Friday, what do? We read Suratul Kahf. We read Suratul Kahf. And in Suratul Kahf, mind-blowing surah, beautiful stories in it. One very interesting story is the encounter between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam. The encounter, an amazing encounter. Now it's a long story, obviously, but the point that I want to highlight is that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam meets Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, they set out on a journey. They set out on a journey and three things happen, three incidents. And one of those incidents at the very beginning is that they undertake a sea journey. They undertake a sea journey. They board a ship, a boat if you will, and they are undertaking a sea journey. They wanted to cross a river. There was no way to cross. There was this boat or ship that was passing by, and the sailors, they were very good-hearted people. They offered them a lift. They offered them a lift. So the two of them board the ship, and now they're traveling. They're traveling. Now, before I come to the point that I wanted to highlight, just before that, another interesting incident takes place, according to certain books of tafsir. While as they boarded the ship, Khadir, alayhi salatu wasalam, he notices a little bird, like maybe a sparrow, dipping its beak into the ocean. Now, you know the ocean is obviously vast, and the beak of the bird is tiny. The beak, in the sense, the bird is dipping its beak and taking its beak away. Khadir looks at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says, "Ya Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, do you observe this spectacle? The bird dipping its beak into the ocean." Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he replies in the affirmative. He says, "Yes." So then Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Ya Musa, the parable, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, Allah is above all these examples, but the example of the knowledge of Allah to your knowledge and my knowledge put together, or all of our knowledge put together, all of mankind put together, is like that of the water of the ocean and the water in the beak of that bird." How much of water do you think is in the beak of that bird? A droplet? Two droplets? Three droplets? We're talking about a tiny bird. Compare that water to the water of the ocean. And it doesn't end there. The water of the ocean can still be quantified. If you have the right technology, if you have the right equipment, you can still quantify the water of the ocean. It's quantifiable. You can say, okay, this many liters of water is present. You have this many liters of water. But the knowledge of Allah is not quantifiable. It's not finite. The knowledge of Allah is infinite. Our knowledge, finite. And now what happens? They undertake the sea journey, and suddenly Musa alayhi salatu wasalam observes Khadir going to a corner of the boat or the ship, and he's scuttling the ship, damaging the ship. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is astounded. He goes to me, "Khadir, what are you doing? Why are you damaging the boat? You're doing something wrong. These people are good people. They gave us a lift and you're damaging the boat." And Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam looks at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, "Qala alam aqul laka innaka lan tastati'a ma'iyya sabra." I told you won't be able to bear patience with me. And then, you know, a couple of incidents happen afterwards. And when they were parting ways, Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam explains to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, "Amma as-safinatu fakanat limasakin ya'maluna fil bahri fa'aradtu an a'ibaha wa kana wara'ahum malik. وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا." As for the boat, you know why I scuttled it, in the sense why I damaged it? Because at the shore where they were going to go and dock their boat, there was a king, an oppressive king, waiting to capture every single boat that was free of defects. Now at that time, when Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam was doing it, he was damaging their only source of rizq. And Allah says in the Quran, "Fakanat li masakin." It belonged to miskeen. Miskeen in the sense, poor people. And that was their only source of rizq. And he was damaging it. Just imagine when they found out about it, after he had left the boat, how devastated they must have felt. "We took these people on board, and look at what they did. They damaged our boats." But they didn't realize what was to happen after. When they went to dock their boat, they see the king with his forces capturing every single boat. This damage could be rectified. You dock it in a harbor and you patch it up and your boat is good to go. But if the king were to capture their boat, that's it. No boat for them. This is how the Qadr of Allah works. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, you have to remember this as my closing point. Allah is Al-Latif. Allah is Al-Latif. It is from the names and attributes of Allah, Al-Latif. Don't forget this. And this is why it's so important that you study about the names of Allah, because each name is a world of its own. Al-Latif, in the sense, you can translate it loosely in English as being subtle, you know, being, you know, in a kind way. You have all these meanings. But in reality, when you talk about the lutuf of Allah, the lutuf, that quality of being latif, it is that Allah wishes, when He wishes good for you, when Allah wishes good for you, He brings about that goodness in unimaginable ways. That's one explanation. Unimaginable ways. Ways that you cannot imagine. That's one explanation. But the more amazing explanation is that Allah will bring that goodness to you in ways that you dislike. Subhanallah. In ways that you dislike. You don't want it happening like this, but it happens like that, and Allah decrees goodness for you. That is Allah being Al-Latif. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, towards the end of his story, what does he say? Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha. He talks about Allah being Al-Latif. You know why? Because look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, one ordeal after the other. Starting off with him being separated from his beloved father. At a very young age, he's thrown into the bottom of a well. Taken out from the well, taken to a foreign land, from Palestine to Egypt, and in Egypt, sold as a slave in the marketplace. He's taken into the house of a powerful minister. The wife of the minister tries to seduce him. And then she's caught in front of her husband, and she turns the tables. She says, "He tried to seduce me." She accuses him. And then what happens? He's proven innocent. He's proven innocent, but yet he's thrown into prison. He's thrown into prison. Innocent. Unjustly he's thrown into prison. And فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. He remains in prison for years. And then Allah takes him out of prison and makes him from the rulers of Egypt and unites him with his family. And according to certain historians, he even marries that lady, the lady who tried to seduce him, subhanallah. But look, he had to go through that entire windmill of ordeals. It wasn't easy. You put yourselves in his shoes and think about it. If you were to be thrown one thing after the other, you're not getting any ease. There is no report, there is no documentation of any ease. Just difficulty after difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. And talking about difficulty after difficulty, Allah says in the Quran, "Inna ma'al usri yusra." Indeed, with hardship comes ease. And some of us have understood this ayah to think that when Allah puts you through difficulty, He brings about ease after that. No. The correct understanding is Allah says, "Ma'al usri yusra." The word in Arabic is used, the word in Arabic that is used is ma'a. Ma'a means with. In the sense, hardship and ease come together. If you're going through hardship, ease is already present. You just have to look around and you will identify the ease. The fact that Allah has given you the strength to bear this trial, this tragedy, this calamity. The fact that Allah is giving you the strength to be positive. The fact that Allah has given you people around you to support you. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Just like in the story of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She loses her husband Abu Salama. She is in difficulty now. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to her. Read the dua, ya Umm Salama. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufni khayran minha. Her udda finishes. Her udda finishes. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu proposes. Ya Umm Salama, I want to get married to you. Ease. Farafadat. She turns it down. She turned the proposal down. And then Umar radiallahu anhu proposes. Ya Umm Salama, I want to get married to you. Farafadat. She turns it down. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Umm Salama, I wish to get married to you. And she accepts the proposal of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَخْلُفْلِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. The dua comes about. Allah has replaced her loss with something that is way better. Way better. She became from Ummahatul Mu'mineen. So at times you're going through difficulty, you're wondering. You know, whenever you go through a challenge and difficulty, what happens is you feel as if the world is closing upon you. You feel it to be so narrow, so constricted. You feel it to be so dark, a lonely place. But don't ever, ever feel lonely. Your friends may leave you, your people may leave you, your colleagues, people around you may leave you, but Allah never leaves you. Allah is with you. Allah is with you. So don't turn away from Allah. Turn to Allah. Remember, whenever you run after the world, Allah will make you run after the world. You run after fame, Allah will make you run after fame. You run after status, Allah will make you run after status. You run after Allah, and Allah will make all these things run after you. You won't even want the world, and the world will come and fall at your feet. You will not want fame, and fame will come and fall at your feet. You will not want reputation, and reputation will come and fall at your feet. Because you are running after Allah. But the minute you turn away from Allah, Allah leaves you to run after what you are running after. And then you will run, a rat race until you die. May Allah save us all. Therefore, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, use this month of Ramadan to run to Allah. Flee to Allah. Fafirru ila Allah. Run to Allah. You run to Allah and you're going to be victorious and successful in this world as well as the hereafter. Don't let this amazing season go by. Don't let this opportunity go by. This is an amazing opportunity to turn to Allah. Turn to Allah and you will definitely be successful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to turn to Him with utmost sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. May He help us to do as many good deeds as possible. May He help us to give out charity during this month of Ramadan. May He help us to read as much Quran as possible during this month of Ramadan. There are people, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, there are people even in today's time and era who are finishing one entire Quran in one day. I was listening to one sheikh from the lands of Arabia, and he was, you know, talking about it in his discourse, and he was mentioning that he knows of an elderly lady in today's time and era who finishes a single Quran every single day during Ramadan, and during the last 10 days of Ramadan, 1.5 khatma. Allahu Akbar. 1.5. Now we, when we hear about Imam Shafi'i doing it, Imam Abu Hanifa doing it, we say subhanallah, that is during their time and there was barakah in their time. We don't have barakah. We do have barakah with all the gadgets that we have. We have so much of time with us. But we need to make use of the time. If there is a will, there is a way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to read as much Quran as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to ponder on His words. May Allah open our hearts towards understanding His words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to live a life that is in accordance with the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And just as how He unites us here in this beautiful masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah. May He unite us at the Hawd, at the fountain with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May He grant us and bless us all with the opportunity to drink from the blessed hands of Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Ameen wa akhir da'wa yani alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.